And now, everyone's favorite autodidactic iconoclast, Drew Marshall.
Live at DrewMarshall.ca and on JoyRadio.ca and across the GTA on AM 1250. We're also streaming live on our Facebook page right now. If you go to the Drew Marshall Show Facebook page, you will see two meatheads to my immediate left, and they look similar. Well, what a show it's been. It's time to kick it up a notch. A lot of the pre-recording stuff is fun for you guys listening to, but it's really boring for us because we don't do anything. This is pre-recorded.
Yeah, pre-recorded. Get used to it.
Really boring? Get used to boring?
No.
Next week on the show, co-hosting will be Lara Dewar-Lorry. And she's been on the show before. And Gordo will be here. Remember him, Andy?
Nice. Gordo.
Gord Tranter. And then after that, the 23rd, I believe, co-hosting will be Madeline Smith Osborne, former actress in Funny Farm and Urban Cowboy and... The Super, she's worked with a lot of big stars, and then she married a hockey player. He's not really a big star, Mark Osborne. And then, who else is co-hosting?
Howard.
Madeline and Howard from Humble and Fred.
The cool ones when I'm not here.
Humble Howard Glassman.
Yeah.
Howard Humble Glassman. How are you supposed to say it, do you know?
Because he's Jewish, I think there's a bunch of names moved around in placements.
Because he's Jewish? You know, we're replaying a segment we did with him and Andy Kindler from L.A. called How Jew Are You?
Yes.
And we surprised them by having a rabbi ask them questions. It was a contest. We had, like, theme music and everything.
Yeah, actually, Howard and I just talked about that the other day. So
you were down at the studio?
Down at the studio hanging out with Howard and Freddie P. It was good. Good times.
Freddie P. It's time for the pub crawl, and that's where Drew, that's me, and my mates crack open a few. Usually we'll talk about topics, but today, this is something I have had in my brain for a little while, and it happened to work out today, and I'm kind of thrilled because two of my oldest friends are here in the studio sipping tea with me. I first met these two meatheads, panelists, back in kindergarten. Andy and Larry were the cool guys who always kind of stood out because they were twins. And I was the village idiot who wanted to be like Andy and Larry. So myself and the twins have really kind of kept in touch throughout the years, probably more so with Andy, because Larry's an atheist. And, I just let the cat out of the bag. One of them's an atheist and one of them's a believer.
You're supposed to guess.
Yeah. So welcome to the show, boys. So good to have you here.
Nice to be here, Drew.
Andy, it's been a while. This is Andy right here, this guy. This is Andy, and that's Larry over there. I'm pointing to the camera on Facebook. Is it still working, Tim? Can you see us over there?
Yeah, it's about a 10-second lag, okay. So I'll be seeing that statement in a moment.
My first question to the twins is, which one of you has BO right now?
It's you, not me.
It is me.
You already admitted it.
He's too bassy. Can you bring the bass off him, please?
Yes, sir.
Speaking of bass... You play bass.
I do.
And you play a little tiny tiny Tim guitar.
String instrument called a mandolin.
But it's more than just a mandolin, isn't it?
It is so.
Yeah.
It's what you make of it.
Yeah. Well, have you both been musical your entire lives?
High school is when it started for me.
Were you in a band in high school? Because we all went to school from kindergarten to grade 7, and then I left in grade 7. Did you guys leave in grade 7?
We did so, yeah. We moved to Burlington in grade 7 and left good old...
Mr. Richmond Demish Hill. Behind?
Yeah, Mr. Demish, Mr. Bellavance.
Singless.
Mrs. Abril, your favorite.
Mrs. Abril, she hated me.
Yeah.
Didn't they all hate you?
Yeah, there's a long list there, brother.
When you put staples in teachers' hairs, they tend
Who
to...
Who does
what?
That?
Yeah. Or glue in their coffee.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Really?
I can go to prison for
he
this.
He did those things.
He's still weird. Doesn't he sound weird and bassy?
It's because all the mics are up and we're getting all... Everybody's picking up each other's mic. That's all.
We're trying to just get the Drew Marshall radio voice down here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not easy.
It's not easy being me?
No.
Yeah, he's bassy.
We don't want to be.
But then I turn the bass off and he sounds...
Too tinny.
Tinny.
Yeah.
Just like a mandolin.
Maybe I should put on some effects there.
Yeah, put some reverb on him.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Something sinister would be better for me.
We're playing with the effects buttons over here.
This is good tea.
Okay.
Darjeeling.
No, okay, now... Say it
again. Drew, I am your father.
We put the effects on the atheist.
It worked.
That's funny. All right. This is an interesting dynamic, as much as we can joke around forever about stuff. You know, Andy, you're a God guy, and Larry, you're not. So this is really an opportunity to... I mean, look, it's not a weird thing, but it's an interesting dynamic, being that you're twins. But should it be more interesting because you're twins? It shouldn't really make that much of a difference, do you think?
It shouldn't make a difference, I would think. I think the average person would expect we would probably be one of the same mind, like, for most things.
Yeah, but that's stupid.
Well,
are you one of the same mind for most things?
Well, probably. I think we're very similar for the way we think and the way we do things. And
sense of humor.
Yeah. Sense of the absurd.
Sense of the absurd.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you both definitely have that.
Yeah.
Yes, you know where you found him when you came to get us this afternoon? Up on the roof, right?
I was looking for God.
Not really.
I walked out to get you, and you were up. You were up the fire exit.
Well, I was inspecting the roof. It's just part of my
part of his occupation.
All right, let's get the stories here. Andy, you've been a God guy your whole life, or no? Is this a new thing?
It's not so new, I don't think, Drew. We both grew up in a so-called God-fearing family, going to church like everyone else.
When you say we both, you and Larry?
We are in the same family.
Yes, okay. Yep.
Yeah. Anglican church.
We're related. Yeah, Anglican growing up, and went to church pretty much every weekend, except for those weekends when we tried to stay as quiet as possible so my mom and dad wouldn't wake up to take us to church.
We knew about 9:30 in the morning, if the toilet flushed and they were awake, it was too late to go. So
yeah.
we were good.
So we went, very ritualistic kind of thing, an experience. You know, it's Anglican, watered-down Catholicism, really.
Yeah.
And
but did it mean anything to you then?
It did afterwards, if we could get to McDonald's,
nice.
You know, get our parents
or
to take
there's
us.
An A&W still.
But no, it didn't mean anything at the time, really. It's just something to do. You knew it was something you did as part of being a good Anglican. You got to church and did the garage sales and Sunday school and all that good stuff. And so it wasn't anything other than the ritual of going.
Did you do like childhood prayers? Now I lay me down to sleep. Or Our Father who art in heaven stuff?
I don't remember. Like maybe at bedtime, we were encouraged to do that,
yeah.
I think. And the church certainly would make you do it. So.
Do you guys watch David and Goliath on TV?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't know, Davey.
Gee, Davey.
Should I blow up this bridge, Goliath? Yeah, we love Davey and Goliath.
Yeah. No, we watch that stuff, yeah. Commander Tom.
So when did it become real for you, Mr. Believer Twin?
Mr. Believer, it was in 2002 in April. I remember having a conversation with you all the way down in Australia. And
over the phone.
It was over the phone, yeah. Well, I wasn't there. Yeah, that's right. So it was interesting because it was almost a, how do people come to believe? It was more of a, some kind of a longing, I think. You know, you get all your stuff. You've got a perfect life. I just had, it was 2002, so... both kids had just, my daughter was 5, Leanne was 5, and Kevin was 1.5, something like that, almost 2. But you know, you've got a perfect life, beautiful wife, beautiful house, you got everything you need, and yet there's something still calling. I don't know. That's kind of what led me to the whole thing, saying, you know, I just felt the longing, yearning of some kind. I don't know how to describe it.
And you never felt that, Larry?
No, we did. As I say, we went to church, and then we moved to Burlington. I got married in a church, in the Anglican church. Never went on a weekly basis.
Wait, now that you're an atheist, are you bugged at the fact you got married in a church?
Not really. No.
Okay.
No, I probably would do things differently now.
Yeah.
In retrospect, but no, it's all good. What for me? Andy said 2002. By the way, I've never heard that story, so I'm not exactly.
You've never heard that story?
I've never heard that story. So this
you
is
didn't
all
know
new.
That part of his God journey was me selling him Jesus?
I didn't know that. I knew that you had a bad influence on him, but I
this
didn't
is
really
one of
know
the few
the
times
details.
It was a good influence, I think.
Well,
so for me, my epiphany came when I was it was about 1997. And I remember at Christmas time, and I still love Christmas. I do Christmas every year with the kids and, yeah. and the family.
You know that's about Jeebus, right?
I do, but
he
this
calls
is
it
the part.
Giftmas.
Giftmas. this is the part. For me, I was very interested that year, I remember, in the winter solstice, and yeah. I wanted to know more about the winter solstice.
Why? How did you get into that?
I just I love nature. I love the change of seasons, and so I was investigating a little bit more about the winter solstice and Yule. So I learned a little bit about Wicca and Yule and all the reasons behind it. And yeah. So because what I couldn't figure out...
And then you figured out that Jesus people teefed Christmas?
Exactly. That's exactly correct. It took me that long to figure it out.
Right.
So when I started investigating it more to see how many other things were co-opted to convince people about this, for me it was very simple. So I started going down these earth-based religion paths and investigating those.
So are you a pagan?
For a time, I would say that I was investigating it. I wouldn't declare myself as that.
Did you have a knife?
No, I did not.
Okay. No, because they use those in the ceremonies.
What's a knife? They do. Yeah. No, I realized that all that
why
was...
Why is there K there?
As I looked into it, I realized that was, for me, nonsense as well.
Right.
The things that they worshipped are all real to me, and I like them. I love them. But for me, all the business behind it, it didn't make any sense to me. The
no.
God and the goddess, some of the philosophies I really agree with, but that for me was really sealed it.
So what do you know about your brother's Jesus stuff?
Not too much.
You guys haven't talked about this?
We talk about important things like the Blue Jays and...
guys are putzes. So this is more like an intervention. No, this is more like a therapy. This is more like a... What is this?
There are people listening on the radio that haven't heard these stories.
Really?
That's
like
right.
My wife and my kids.
Really?
Same.
Mom.
Is it weird? Do you think it's tougher for a believer to come out and say they're a believer? Because believers are kind of looked at maybe a little weirder these days. And then also there's the whole, how can you call yourself a Christian when I know that you do this or I've seen you do that or you speak like this, you use potty language or you might have a smoke or you drink too much, whatever, right?
Or all those things.
Or all
those things.
Is it weirder? Do you think it's harder for you to come out?
I think it absolutely is these days because part of the issue, I think, is a believer, is someone who believes in God and Jesus Christ, is the stigma attached to, people tie faith to religion. So, you know, a Christian, Westboro Baptist Church or some nonsense of some of the right-wing evangelicals that has nothing to do with faith. It has everything to do with process and procedure and wacky right-wing thoughts and stuff. So
how do you divorce yourself from that behavior, from the Christian faith, or any faith for that matter?
So you think if somebody is a believer and they're not a whack job, that they still have to own the fact that their group is filled with whack jobs?
I think to a certain extent they do. They
have to realize that's
for any religion.
Okay, so as an atheist, when did you declare yourself an atheist? And have you, or are you just, like an angry agnostic?
No, I wouldn't say I'm not an angry atheist at all.
No.
You know what? Whatever gets you through the night, if that's what you want to believe.
But you got to roll your eyes at faith people a little bit.
To a certain extent,
yeah.
Yes, I do.
That's why he's
because
wearing
I don't
sunglasses.
Know why you need it. I really don't.
Right.
For me, I don't know why you need it. I don't know what it explains for you. I don't know what you can't get from looking inside you as opposed to looking up.
Right.
Why is it you have to look up?
So when your brother has been sharing a little bit of, hey, I'm a God, I'm a believer. Wait, this wasn't a surprise. You knew he was.
No, of course.
Right? Obviously, yeah. That was the setup for this whole show.
And the same as well. He knows what I think.
So when did you first find out he was a believer?
Oh, I don't know exactly when.
Maybe when I started coming on your radio show.
That was probably about it.
Really?
No, but during university, there was a time that I think that Andy was looking for things as well, because I remember one of the guys on our floor who Andy used to go to church with. And he was very, very
Tony.
Devout Christian.
He wasn't just a Christian. He was a...
super Christian?
No. It was what you call a happy clappy...
Oh, Palm Tanner?
Palm Tanner.
Right.
Yeah, it was one of those churches.
Have you ever been to a happy clappy church?
No, I haven't.
You should go,
man. I would like to go to a snake handler church in the Appalachians, actually. That's what I'd like to do.
The real deal, man.
I've told the kids, I'll take them. What I try to teach my children is how to think as opposed to what to think.
Okay, so if one of your kids, Andy, grows up and says, I want to be like Uncle Larry, which is scary.
I've got one already.
Do you really?
Well, I think so.
Yeah. And they say, I'm an atheist. There is no God. Then how do you feel about that? Really, how do you feel about that? Because in your line of thinking, in your tribal conditioning, it says that if your kid doesn't believe in God, then your kid is going to have a tough time after death.
Yeah, I'm a lousy Christian. That's the problem. I don't try to, witness or convince people of my faith or my belief. It's kind of a very personal thing.
Right.
So, yeah, I've got my daughter, Leanne, who's listening right now.
Hi, Leanne.
Sure.
She is the nicest kid in the universe. And I like Kevin. And Kevin is an amazing kid. He's got more gifts and talents than most human beings his age. But Leanne has that. What did I say?
Well, he said one time, he said, she's got the sweetest spirit. Oh. And you're right. Yep.
Anyway, sorry. Yeah. Just a side
Kevin
note.
Kevin does, too.
And they're both wonderful, yeah. And so is Larry's kids, too.
All right.
So
enough of the kids. Love. Okay.
Yeah, my kids
but let
suck.
Me ask you.
What?
Tim?
Yeah,
really?
Tim's kid. They're in foster care, so don't worry about them. So what were we going to say?
I was going to ask you, Drew. Like, for instance, how would you feel? I'd like to turn the tables on you and ask you a question.
Yeah.
How would it be, for instance, if one of your kids decided that they were going to worship Allah?
Yeah.
Allah.
Right.
Like,
as long
how would you
as
feel
they,
about
as long
it?
As they don't join the ta la 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 band, I'm fine.
You're going to get another letter, you know.
No, yeah, I don't know. I'm at this point where I'm not sure about anything
right.
these days.
Gotcha.
So I'm not losing my lid over
but
this.
But there's lots of gods out there. There's Allah. There's Buddha.
So
there's
what if
Thor.
What if one of your kids comes to you and says, "Hey, I'm a happy clappy, praise the Lord, come to Jesus, come to church,
you know
Jesus
what?
Person."
As long as they thought about
come
it.
Come on, you just said no, a minute I'm ago you'd roll your eyes a little
sure
bit.
Sure,
believers.
But it's their choice. I'm just it's just steering the ocean liner, Drew.
Yeah.
Right. You got to steer the ocean liner and hope it goes in the direction that you want it to go. If they decide to go somewhere else, that's really on them. For me, what I'm trying to teach them is how to think as opposed to what to think.
Yep.
And that's the problem I see with religion.
I agree.
99% of the families out there, their kids are going to be raised the same faith that the parents are.
Right.
And they've taught them that. So they haven't taught them to think and look at things themselves.
Yep.
I want to expose them to as many things. I told them before, I will take you to church if you want to go to church. No issues. No problem at all. But you're going to think about it and make up your own mind.
Mm.
But yeah, and there's the tie you just said, you know, about the religion and stuff, and that's where tying the religion to the faith and things, and you know, eating fish on Fridays and all the rituals and things. And I think I don't like that stuff. You know, for me, I can have church and a conversation in a backyard with one other person. I don't, you know, and that's probably why some of the churches are starting to, you know, disappear because I don't feel that need to go and congregate. I don't know.
Why do you need religion?
I don't need it.
Well, he said you do.
I don't need it.
I didn't say he did.
Well, yeah.
You're putting words in my mouth.
I want to fight. I just want to fight. That's
pinch
all.
Him. Give him a pinch.
No. Oh, he did it. Pardon me. I should have had a more manly reaction to that.
Ow.
Wow, that tickled me a little
boy,
bit.
Boy, that really kind of... you did say something similar to, I don't know why people... need religion.
Okay. Yes, I did say that. I remember. And I have a short-term memory loss.
Okay. So now let's all own the fact that religion has done great things in the world and has done horrific things. Without religious people, you know, maybe this wouldn't have happened or that wouldn't have happened. I mean, we're talking about even the printing press or hospitals or education. I mean, you know, a higher education, they were all divinity schools at the start, Yale and Harvard and et cetera, et cetera. You know, God people have done some good stuff. The largest volunteer organization in the world are God people. Mm-hmm. If you combine them all, they are mostly the ones that are getting out there and you know, being Jesus with skin on, which sounds a little Silence of the Lambs to me. But
sure, they do good things, but isn't it come at a cost? Like, doesn't it come to say, I'm going to go build you a school, and then I'm also going to convince you that Jesus is Lord?
Okay, yeah, and it depends how they do that, right? Everybody's paranoid of the, here's the bread, starving child, here's the bread. Huh? Before you get the bread, yeah. Let me tell you about Jesus.
Yeah. Isn't that
okay,
how it works?
No.
For the most part?
No, and if it ever does work like that, if we ever... And is that intentional or unintentional? And how do we filter that information through our cognitive processing abilities? Should they shut up? For example, we just lost Johnny Barnes, who I talked about earlier in the show today, and I met Johnny in Bermuda a couple of years ago. 93 years old. He just died this morning. For the last number
really?
Of decades, he would just stand on the corner in this roundabout outside of Hamilton, Bermuda, 2:30 in the morning till 9:30 in the morning, waving at people as they're going to work, blowing them kisses, saying, I love you, I love you. He didn't have a Jesus loves you sign. He wasn't handing out information stuff. He was just loving people as they went to work.
That's good.
But what if he did talk about God? And what happens is when people go up to him,
That's not a word.
Depends on where you're from.
He doesn't talk to
God. Up to him. When people went up to him, he would pray with them. When they came to him and asked him, why do you do this? What's going on? Why do you love people like this? He would say, because I'm a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Are you okay with that?
yeah, like I say, whatever gets you through the night,
yeah.
As long as you're not burning other people up and shooting them and, you know, disintegrating yeah. your neighbors who don't agree with you or don't believe in what you believe, then I'm okay with that.
Did you go pseudo-believer, agnostic, atheist?
Well, I wouldn't, like, in terms of atheism, I would say that I'm not convinced of anything. I'm a scientist, so I like to, belief
right.
is tied with proof
yeah.
for me. So
it, so faith it, is hard.
No, well, I think people make the mistake that atheists are not spiritual. I get a lot of spiritual mm-hmm. Moments when I'm in nature, when I'm with my family.
But hold on, when we're saying spiritual, we're not talking Oprah feel-good stuff. We mean otherworldly. There are other entities around that I yeah. don't understand.
No, I don't go for any of that stuff.
Right.
For me, like, so there's a heaven. Where is it? Like, floating 12,000 feet above the earth? Is it 30,000 feet? Is it on another plane?
35.
But what about odds? Are scientists not, the world of science not based on odds? Because Occam's razor would say, you know, live your life like there is a God, because the odds are there probably is, and it's not going to hurt you living life like there is a God.
Well, I guess, you know, if there really is a God.
Because there's so much unexplainable, I guess.
If there really is a God, and I guess I'm not perfect. And so I've often said that I may not believe in him, but if there is one, maybe he believes in me.
Yeah.
And so.
No, I get that.
There's only one guy that was perfect.
No, but I get that. See, I'm in the same boat when it comes to, like, let's say my kids believe in something that I'm just not totally cool with. My initial reaction to that, Larry, is, if God is God, then God is in control of all sorts of stuff. And if God really wants to permeate their life, he's going to figure out a way to do mm-hmm. that. And I,
sure.
So I don't get near as wigged out as I used to about people believe in other stuff. You took a deep breath. Why?
No, I'm just you'd said something earlier today about, you know, God being in certain people, or, you know, you were interviewing some folks about the trail that you're going on.
Oh, the Camino, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it just twigged me onto the fact that he's there. I feel him in other people. I don't expect to see him as you know, the burning bush, so to speak, or some kind of a supernatural presence that all of a sudden, you know, here I am kind of thing. I'm not too worried about it. I don't know where I was going with this, but you just caught me onto the fact that I don't need the same level of you know, I'm not bugged out about certain pieces of proof that I needed to have before, you know, like.
Wouldn't it be nice, though?
Sure, it'd be nice, of course.
But if you had all the proof, then you really wouldn't need faith.
Well, that's what
that
faith is.
That is the definition of faith.
That is faith, yeah. Right? Is believing in something that doesn't necessarily.
But what does that do for you?
Well, Larry,
I don't understand.
Right. So let me throw back at you what I sort of a tagline for our show, and I really, really want. I'm honestly intrigued in your opinion on this. I don't care what he thinks. I want to know what you think.
Me either. I feel the same way.
Okay. All right. Doubt is more compatible with faith than certainty.
And you're asking whether
what's your response to that? What do you think about that?
Absolutely. I mean, there's again, for me, it's a proof thing.
But believers who say, "Oh, I have no doubt. I have no doubt." See, I have.
Oh, I have doubt. I have doubt.
I'm not. But you're not part of this. Sit
all
back
right,
here.
All right.
So believers that I know, who are certainists. They drive me mental because I don't get it. I don't understand it. I just don't.
Yeah.
Doubt is a huge part of whatever faith thing I have. And I think if you remove that doubt, then I think what I would be believing in wouldn't be faith.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be a faith.
You have to have a natural questioning attitude
right.
about all these things.
Right, right, right.
You know, there was a time when people believed that an eclipse of the sun happened because there's a dragon in the sky that swallowed the sun.
Wait, that's not...
That's what people...
That's not true?
No, it's not true. They've proved it otherwise.
Sorry, Drew.
Have they proved it? You know.
Have they proved it?
I don't know if they have.
Well, they haven't found the dragon yet. They're still looking for him. Her.
His name was Pete.
Oh, that Puff. Was Smog.
Oh, no, that was Pete's dragon. No, that
Puff.
Wasn't the name of this.
Puff.
Okay, now yeah. we're talking about acid trips. Hey, I had that guy in the show.
We did.
What was his name? Paul?
Double Rainbow guy?
No, not full-on
oh,
Double
did
Rainbow.
Did you have him?
No, the guy that wrote Puff the Magic Dragon.
Peter Paul on the show,
yeah,
wasn't
Paul.
It?
I had Paul
I
on.
Listen
well, I can't remember his last name. Anyway, okay.
Something Jewish.
You're listening to the Drew Marshall Show. We are streaming live. Are we still streaming live, by the way, Tim? Can you just check that out?
Yeah, it looks like
so
it.
So what it seems like is when we tried Periscope so many times and it bailed
yes.
every time, it seems like the Facebook live streaming is better than Periscope. I just want to endorse the Facebook live streaming.
Thank you, Mark Zuckerberg.
Looking for more advertisers?
I would love Mark to support my life.
Get him on the show.
Yes. He's a Jew, isn't he? We could talk about his faith.
There you go.
I think he...
There's another letter.
No, that's a real word. You can't... It's not like saying...
He's Jewish.
No, don't say it.
When I say he's a Jew, that's not bad.
Well, as long as
I think it
Humble
depends.
Howard's okay with it.
It's your it's how your voice projects it.
It's my inflection?
Yes. Yes.
He's a Jew. Is that better?
Sure.
The Drew Marshall Show Facebook page. You can see how handsome these two meatheads are. Andy is right to my left, and then beside him is Larry. And thank God Tim is out of the shot.
Yeah, baby.
I'm all out of tea.
Okay, well, I'm all out
any
of
more
tea.
Darjeeling?
We will set that up soon. Okay, I want to get back to this discussion.
Can I ask a quick question?
You're not in the camera.
No, he's good. I got a question.
Okay.
Now, Larry, and this isn't, you know, this is gonna sound, it's not an attack or anything like that. You're all about science and proof.
Yeah.
Are there things out there that can't be proved that you believe in?
That's a good question.
Ooh.
Are there things out there? Well, there's Bigfoot,
like love,
Bigfoot.
Well, for sure, yeah. Prove intangibles. Love. Yeah, that's how you feel about something, right?
But isn't that kind of what faith is?
But I love my wife now.
Can you prove it though?
Yeah, by
can
his
I
actions.
I can see her and she's there.
And by his actions,
yeah, absolutely.
How he treats her.
But what about when she's not there?
I think about her and I know that I've seen her.
And what's love got to do with it?
What love got to do?
No, I think it is a good question.
It's a second part emotion.
There are things in this world that scientists believe in. Those with rational minds believe in. And yet they're not provable. Yes or no?
Well, no, I don't think so. Because science, the thing about science is that science is not so arrogant as to claim it knows everything. Science right. can change its mind and say that, you know what, we've done a study, we've found this out, and there's some more studies down the road that change their opinion about it.
So, but theologians
and how
over
can
the
you
years,
trust it?
Theologians over the years have also learned to change, and people of faith have changed. For example, Billy Graham early on in his life would tell everybody, if you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to hell. The last time he was on Larry King, Larry King said, if I don't believe in Jesus, am I going to hell? And he said, for the first time, Larry, all I know is without Jesus, there's no guarantee. It's a slight variation, but it shows change and growth in a guy who's closer to death and should be lightening
there
up
you
in
go.
His, right?
That's the thing. He's getting closer to death. I don't know. People's opinions change as they get older. I've gotten more liberal over my time as I get older, too. We just turned 50, Andy and I, as you know, you were at our birthday party.
I was.
It's great
to have you.
It
happened on the same day, too. How freaky is that?
It's weird how that happened.
It was sweet. 5 minutes apart.
Who,
we started
who's older?
Birthday.
Yeah, who is older?
Me.
Really?
5 minutes, baby.
Hmm. I should be listening to the voice of experience, really.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Listen up.
Okay, so what is the thing that drives you nuts when believers talk to you about your atheism? What do you
not too many people
get?
Do. No one really has done that. I mean, I was expecting a lot of things. Our father just passed recently. I was expecting some people saying he's in a better place. I don't know where he is right now. And so there's a perfect example. I don't know where you go after you die. I don't believe there's some kind of an ethereal plane where heaven exists.
Could there be?
Maybe.
But then are you not an agnostic?
Perhaps. You're the one who called me an atheist. It wasn't me.
I knew it.
There's some doubt there, but I would say...
How can you know for sure, one way or the other?
Well, there are atheists that are anti-theists. You're not an anti-theist, are you?
To a certain extent.
Okay. So are you saying there is no God, honestly, and if you believe in it, you've got your sins wrong?
Well, the question becomes, again, there's, I think in religions across the world, there's about 2,300 gods. I just believe in one less than you do. So there's 2,299 that you don't believe in.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Do you believe in the flying spaghetti monster?
I love the press. I love the premise of that.
Yeah.
I really do.
Explain that for our.
It's pretty
for
funny,
listeners.
Actually.
Well, the flying spaghetti
and
monster.
Will you get a driver's license photo with a strainer on your head?
I've given it some thought.
I dare you.
I have given it some thought.
Because there was a guy who
I
did
hope
that.
You do.
And he fought.
There's not just one.
Oh, there's been a few?
Tons of them.
Yeah.
People out in BC, someone in New Zealand.
The world.
They're saying, this is my faith.
This
I need to
have faith.
This picture with a strainer on
with
my
a,
head.
With a pasta strainer on their head. Yeah.
Okay.
It's absurd.
Explain the flying spaghetti monster
well,
to our friends.
I believe probably about 15 years ago when the Kansas Board of Education was starting to do a... intelligent design, where they're trying to explain that design there was religion behind the design of everything. So what they were trying to do is inject into science to say that, yes, science is here, but it's based on religion. And so someone said, well, I believe in the flying spaghetti monster. You see the hand sketches there. He sent something into the Kansas Board of Education, and it was just a scrawl on there to say, I believe in the flying spaghetti monster, and they celebrate with beer and pirates and all kinds
touching
of absurd things to
noodly
say.
Noodly appendage and all
yeah,
that stuff.
Yeah, and so it took off. Venganza.org. And so it's absurd, but it was a response to something to say that you can't start injecting religion and telling people this is how it is because you believe a certain way. This is telling people how to think as opposed to learning how to think for yourself. And that was the whole premise behind it.
One of the things, and we just mentioned this last week as well, I don't know if you ever heard or saw the Ken Ham versus Bill Nye debate.
Yes, I did.
Saw that, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So what's called Ham on Nye? And Bill Nye was asked, well, they were both asked at the end of the debate, what would it take for you to change your mind? Bill Nye said, evidence. And Ken Ham from the Creation Museum, who's also behind
yep.
the big evangelical Noah's Ark Disney World,
yes.
the place that just opened last
just
week.
Just opened.
He was asked the same question, what would it take for you to change your mind? And he said, nothing.
Nothing.
And that drives me nuts.
Yes. You know, that Noah's Ark display he has, there's dinosaurs on it as well, right?
So we're talking about that today as we were moving a creation.
Moving a dinosaur?
No, it was as we're moving things out, we had the nativity display, put a couple dinosaurs in there,
that's
yeah. just for fun.
That reminds me of
Mr. Bean.
Land of the Lost.
Yes, yeah. Mr. Bean. Yeah.
Well, no, we always had the nativity scene there, and Andy and I would decorate it, Andy too, and we had a little Hulk Hogan thumb wrestler, and there was... There was a trumpeter. One of the wise men, I think, had a trumpet, and yeah. we used to lean the trumpet over so it was blasting right into Jesus' face.
And
you just balance him.
Wake up.
But it was the Mr. Bean thing where he brings in the dinosaur.
And the
right?
Darlings and the helicopter.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Can we just get this conversation back on track,
okay,
please?
Sorry.
You're the host, sorry.
As a believer, I think it's harder to talk about faith stuff with family members. True, Andy?
Absolutely true.
Why?
That's what he said. He asked you that.
I'm trying to think why. I guess for the most part, at a family gathering, and we have civil family gatherings, we don't really talk about religion or politics, although we're probably more of the same line around politics.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not something that is typically comfortable to speak to. So I'm not going to start evangelizing in front of my family.
But you guys... You know, it's not like there are siblings that don't get along. There are siblings that get along. But I've never met I'm sure they're out there. But it seems to me that there is a connectivity between twins that is rare. True? Do you not think?
I think so.
I believe there is, although we don't have the benefit of experience.
Yes. If you guys have a real affection for each other, Andy, in other words, what I'm saying is if you actually give a holy grunt about your brother, why wouldn't you tell him about Jesus? Because that's what a lot of Jesus people want you to do, too. And maybe the Lord wants you to do that.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I'm a lousy Christian, like I said. A lot of times I've talked to people, and I remember having one conversation with my buddy Brent, who I worked with a number of years ago, and he said, "You're Christian, aren't you? I can tell."
Yeah.
It was
why?
Just,
how did he tell?
He just say the way you carry yourself.
I see you a lot,
and
I can't tell.
Yeah,
there's a giant cross he wears around his neck.
I don't know. I think for me, it's more about hopefully being somewhat of a good example once in a while.
And yet, I like the example that you are setting for your kids, Larry, with the things you just said about how you're raising them to think on their own and not indoctrinating them.
That's exactly it.
Well, I agree with that too, though. I'm in the same mind. I was like, you know, my daughter, like I said, she's going to university. She's in a science degree right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's probably more of the same mind as her uncle than she is of her dad, mm-hmm. and that's okay. It's like she's gonna, you know, I don't want to necessarily try to convince her one way or the other. She's gonna find things out. She's got a whole world of experience and things. So you try to be a reasonable, good example, and I probably should do more, but. I don't.
But you're still an ethical person. I mean, you don't need religion to be ethical and know what
no.
to do. And
you
to
keep saying religion,
you.
Though. It's like that's not my thing. It's more faith and
okay.
things. Like religion is rules.
How is it different?
Well, yeah, I would say that religion is man-made. Mm-hmm. And even when Jesus was killed, one of the things he was killed for was because he said to hell with religion. And then he was killed, and then his followers started a religion. So I think what the Jesus that I read about was really anti-trappings, anti-indoctrinational stuff. He was really about, if you sense there's something there, then look upwards. Give it a shot. And really, it is up to God to kind of reach out to you. But then again, we've also come to the conclusion that God really has reached out in a couple of huge ways. I'm just recounting what people have told me when I'm sitting there going, I really don't know what I believe. And these are the two that kind of stand out for me. One is, have a look around. This is a beautiful, stinking place to live. We happen to live in a beautiful area. I'm not sure we'd be saying the same thing if we were starving to death in the Sahara or whatever. Mm-hmm. But we look at nature and we go, wow, creation is awesome. You get that. We all get that. And that's one way God has revealed himself. And the other way, as Bruxy Cavey, our buddy pastor guy would say, is, 2,000 years ago, he revealed himself in a huge way when the Jesus thing happened. Now,
but in 2,000 years, maybe people will start saying that David Koresh was the person, will be a new religion formed around him.
Yeah.
And when you talk about creationists talking about the plants, why can't we admire a garden, admire a forest without believing there's some fairy at the bottom of it who created it?
Yeah.
Like, haven't they heard of photosynthesis? Like, that kind of explains how plants and beautiful things grow.
Who created photosynthesis?
Well, the flying spaghetti monster.
Look,
it comes back to something.
What I love about this is, this, the dynamics of your relationship, you being an atheist, Larry, or whatever we're calling you, an agnostic.
I'm closer to atheism than agnosticism.
Okay. You being an atheist and you being a believer, and yet you move forward with your relationship and you don't let those two foundational differences in your thinking screw with the relationship. The relationship is more important. I think that's kind of an amazing thing.
Yeah, we're not Jehovah's.
No.
Come on.
Yeah. Well, I've always said the sign of a cult is how they treat you when you decide to leave.
Yes. There's a perfect example.
Yeah.
Religion.
There you go. Back to that.
No. Sure.
All right. Let's just finish on this. Andy, you're sitting beside your brother Larry. The plane's going down. You know you've got 5 minutes to live. You don't want your brother to go to hell. What do you say to him? Go to hell.
There are no atheists in a foxhole.
There's plenty of them. There's plenty of them.
No, but what would you say? Seriously, I'm just interested in that. I know it's a corny setup, but what would you say?
I would say we've had a great life together. I love you. And I hope you're going where I am because I believe in a certain thing. It's like, but again, I don't feel, even at that point, that I need to convince him to do what he has to do. Mm. It's like, it's something very personal and it comes with me. It's not something I need. It's just here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I kind of like what you said earlier about the fact that he's watching, do I need his relationship or is he watching it over us kind of thing anyways, no matter what we think. I don't know.
Like Bette Midler?
Bette Midler?
God is watching us.
What movie is that?
It's a song.
It's a song
wind
from Beaches.
My wings.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay, I know that song. I should know that song.
You should.
Yeah. Anyhow.
Nine Inch Nails covered it once.
I don't.
Stay focused.
You keep dropping things on your Nine Inch Nails. I think of Johnny Cash and Hurt Now.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah. So, in other words, it'd be really hard to say, dude, we're going to die. At least just throw your arms up to the sky and go, if you're there, I'm yours.
I don't think I could convince anyone one way or the other because it's faith. And you either have it.
You either lean into it or you don't.
It's like I don't think that my opinion saying you should vote for Donald Trump and I could talk to you for 5 minutes and you're going to see the light.
Would he have an easier time convincing you to vote for Donald Trump than that there's a God?
Probably.
Wow. That's interesting.
Probably.
Scary.
Although I'm not going to vote for Donald. I don't get a vote, but I wouldn't vote for him anyway. I don't know.
I just find you guys fascinating. I love this conversation.
We're never going to speak of this again after this interview.
No.
Let us never speak of this again.
So let it be written.
So let it be done. Thank you, Charlton.
Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate it very much.
Because,
look, I know there's a vulnerability to this, right? I mean, I know you've got family listening, and you're kind of putting your cards out on the table, and you know, it's an interesting dynamic. So thank you for, I don't know, for modeling differences of opinion, but loving forward, I guess, right? Okay, that's enough of the cheese. This is